want to extend my word of welcome to each one here, especially our visitors. You're our delighted guests, and you would be our friend if you wanted to talk to us about the things that we do practice here, the things that we say, particularly if there's something that you see that we do amiss from God's word. We strive to be a group that follows the New Testament, the New Testament pattern of working and worshiping as God would have us to intend, so that we can help each other reach our ultimate goal of getting to heaven when we depart from this earth. I want to continue looking at Bible teaching versus societal thinking. If you weren't here the last time I spoke, I talked about the roles of man and woman as it related to in the church and in the home, and how society thinks of it as one way and how biblical truth lays it out another way, and that's the way we need to follow. And I want to look at this morning of marriage, the idea of marriage, and some of the things that society says about marriage and how that is opposed to God's word. The first thing I want us to look at is the idea of the acceptance that our society has begun to really push on all of us of same-sex marriage. The chart up here, the graph, I hope you can read it or see it. The blue is the states that same-sex marriage is legal. And when I was doing the research for this sermon, I was overwhelmed. I had no idea that it was so many states. The red is the states that have banned same-sex marriage. There's, by my count, 9 states that have done so. Some territories that the United States is controlling have done so as well. The tan are same-sex marriage had originally been banned, and now it's overturned, and the decision is stayed indefinitely. If I understand that, basically, it's legal, but maybe someone with a better knowledge of legality could explain that to me. And then the gray is not prohibited or recognized. Again, that is only the territory. So really, every single of the states of the 50 American United States have discussed this to the point that they've made laws about it, to the point that they either have legalized it, they've banned it, or they at one point banned it, and then they overturned that ban, and now it's, if I'm understanding correctly, it's legal. But regardless, there are only 9 states that have decided to ban same-sex marriage. And it also doesn't take too much foresight to realize that those 9 states probably aren't going to be able to hold out for long, because this is considered hate. This is considered discriminatory toward grown adults who need to be able to make their own decisions, and who are we to tell them what they can and cannot do? So it's not looking too far into the future when probably all the country will be blue. Well, what does the Bible have to say about it? Aaron O'Neill could stand up here and tell you Aaron O'Neill's opinions and thoughts. And Aaron O'Neill could say, well, you know, I think this way, I think that way. It doesn't matter. What does the Bible teach us? Well, the Bible teaches us that marriage is to be between man and woman. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 24, it says very simply, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is when God had created Adam, man, and he was looking for a suitable helpmeet for man. And none was found in the animals, so he caused Adam to fall asleep. In verse 21, he took of his rib and he created woman. Adam said in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then the verse we read. So a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So marriage is to be between a man and a woman. Homosexuality is a sinful act. Over in Romans chapter 1, going now into the New Testament, what we follow today, what we turn to point toward what we do. And I thought Bill did an excellent job this morning of really laying the groundwork to say everything that we do, you know, needs to be because we love God and to follow His commandments. And then he laid that groundwork, and then he went into the fact that we need to be able to have self-control. People want to tell us that homosexuality is an activity that can't be helped, that it's something someone is born with, some kind of chromosome or whatever it may be. I am not a scientist. I am certainly not God. I'm not going to put myself in position of God. God has said in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and through 28, he lists, he talks about this. He says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do these things which are not fitting." It then goes on to talk about some other things that are not fitting for man to do. Over in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Here we see some things listed as far as those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you look in verse 9, it says, "Nor homosexuals. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, nor homosexuals?" God has laid this out. God has said that homosexuality is sinful. Those that engage in such things, those that practice such things, are doing things that are unnatural, are wrong, a sinful act that will keep you out of heaven. So it's not up to us to try to play scientists and say that there's some extra chromosome. There are certainly people that this is a temptation for, that homosexuality is a temptation for, just like other temptations are to other people. The alcoholic craves the drink. The homosexual desires to practice unnatural sexual acts. They need to remove themselves from that temptation, just like the alcoholic should not look upon the alcohol, should not put themselves in situations at bars or at activities where alcohol is going to be functioning. The homosexual needs to remove themselves from those activities because it's sinful, because it is wrong. So we see here, society is saying one thing, and if you will, I think society is pushing this agenda on us. Turn on the TV these days and new shows that are out. It's very hard to find a show that doesn't seem to have a character who is homosexual. This is something that's being pushed on us. This is something that is being called hate speech if you speak out against it. Many people would say the things that I'm saying this morning are hateful. They're wrong to say. He's up there speaking hate speech, and it probably won't be long either before people start to be jailed for this type of talking. We are to hate the sinful act, not the sinner. I certainly do not hate those that practice homosexuality. I hate the sin. God is the same way. God does not hate those who practice homosexuality. He hates their wrongful practices. And he wants them to find him. He wants them to come to Christ, to be baptized for the remission of their sins, and to walk anew. What else does our society teach, though? It's not simply this as far as marriage goes, but what we now call cohabitate is becoming more and more the norm. In many cases, it makes better sense, is what society says, okay, to cohabitate than to marry. You ever talk to somebody that is in this cohabitation, and I'm not talking about a roommate. I'm talking about they're in a relationship, in a sexual relationship, and they're living together in such a way, they're not ashamed of it because society doesn't teach us to be ashamed of it. Society doesn't tell us that this is wrong. Well, why do people do this? Well, a lot of people say it's for financial reasons. If you're on your parents' health insurance, you can stay on it, I believe, until you're 25. I know a lot of people that I work with that are young. I work in a retail environment, so I work around a lot of 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that are in college. I know a lot of them live with their boyfriend or girlfriend because they choose not to get married, they say, because they can stay on their parents' health insurance. If they get married, they get off their parents' health insurance. You know, that's one reason, financial reasons of some sort. Other reasons given is, well, I'm not sure if this is the person I really want to marry or not. But if I live with them for 2, 3 years, however long, 6 months, 7 months, whatever, I'll know then. Chart to back this kind of idea up. It's not just Aaron saying these things. Here, what we're seeing here is the type of first union. So the first relationship that that women have entered into between the ages of 15 and 44, okay? And this, the very far one here to the very far left is no union, so they haven't entered into anything. We have cohabitation, we have marriage. The very far left on each one, the very light pink, 1995. The middle one, 2002. And then the very last one, 2006 to 2010 data. So if you're following me and you're looking at this, and you look at these last two here, cohabitation and marriage, you can see cohabitation keeps going like this and marriage keeps going like this, which makes sense from a statistical standpoint because those who cohabitate normally back in the day would have gotten married because that was seen as something you just didn't do. So it's a societal problem. It's not a big deal from society's standpoint. People talk about this like it's nothing. I live with so-and-so, you know. We're in a relationship together. We've been living together for so many years. It's not a big deal for many people to live with somebody for 20, 30 years and never consider being married. What does the Bible teach us? Again, back to the idea of who will receive the kingdom of heaven. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 5. And the idea is simply not, well, you know, we don't live together. The idea is sexual immorality, fornication. Sex before marriage is wrong against God's word, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. God made the marriage relationship for us, for mankind, to fulfill natural desires. These desires are natural that are in us, these sexual desires. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fornicator being the one who engages in activities before marriage. An adulterer being one who is married but is practicing sexual immorality outside the marriage. So all are covered. There's only one place for the sexual relationship, and that is between a husband and a wife in a marriage relationship. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, here Paul, as he's talking to the Corinthian brethren, he tells them, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. But I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another in that. He goes on to talk about the unmarried and to the widows. It is good for them if they remain as such. But if they cannot exercise self-control, there's what Bill was talking about again, the idea of self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So here we have God laying out for us the reason for the marriage relationship, or one very large aspect of the marriage relationship, is to fulfill these lustful desires in the correct way, in the way He has set forth. The marriage relationship is to do that. And it says here in very plain English that the husband and wife are to take care of that with each other, to take care of each other in that way, to not even withhold themselves from each other, so that it does not give place for Satan to tempt in, to come in and tempt. So these ideas that this idea of cohabitation, people having sexual relationships with others before marriage, is one that, again, is pushed on us in society. This idea of saving yourself to marriage, most people think, is ludicrous, is foolish. Many people engage in these type of activities with many different people. And we just see from the scriptures that that is not the case. That marriage is where this is to be fulfilled. Well, what's another problem in society as far as marriage? Well, when people do become married in a right relationship, man and woman, even if you will, divorce is commonplace and is not a big deal. Another chart to prove the point. It's actually gone down a little bit. This is per 1,000 population from 1913 all the way up to 2013, 1933, 53, 73, 93, and now 2013. You can see how it's just a spike. They say now, approximately, about 46% of all marriages, first-time marriages, will fail. So about half will end in divorce. The second time people get married, that spikes all the way up to over 80%. If they've been divorced once, they get married a second time, they're very likely to get divorced again. So again, I don't think it takes any kind of great understanding of statistics or even looking at statistics to realize that we have a problem with divorce in our society. It's not a big deal. I work with there's myself and three other people in my direct area. I know the four of us. Two have been divorced. One is in her second marriage. I have a manager who's been married three times. He was actually just telling me about this yesterday, making jokes about it. And it's not a big deal. It's just not a big deal to people. Well, what does the Bible say about divorce? Well, simply put, divorce is not permitted by God. In Matthew chapter 19, here they come to Jesus, the Pharisees, testing him, and they ask him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? So Jesus speaking here says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I said to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her, who is divorced, commits adultery. Divorce not permitted by God. He gives one caveat, if you will, or one time that it is, and that is if you're divorced for sexual immorality, the party who was wronged, so not the one who committed sexual immorality, the one that commits sexual immorality, they can no longer be entered into any kind of relationship again, of any kind. The one that was wronged, the offended party, the one who did not commit sexual immorality, if the split takes place, if the divorce takes place, that one can go and be remarried. And if you become divorced and you were the party that committed the sexual immorality and you remarry, then even if the one you marry has the right to be married, it says here that one commits adultery as well. So the act of adultery is committed in those circumstances and in those ways. Marriage is not something that would be entered into lightly at all. That's another thing that I think, the biggest reason why I think divorce rates are up, the biggest reasons why cohabitation rates are up, is because people now, instead of being married, because they're saying, well, we don't want to get divorced, so we'll just cohabitate. But the reason why all these rates are up is because people just enter into these relationships lightly. They have no self-control. There's no thought process. They see something. They see an ideal that they want this, to fulfill these desires, and they're not doing it in a correct manner and in a correct format. So let's make some quick application this morning. I think we can see that these things are hopefully are sinful. Homosexuality is sinful. God lays it out. He says it is. Cohabitating, fornicating, sinful. God lays it out. He says it is. It's very simple. Being married and then becoming divorced, save for sexual immorality, and then we know adultery, sinful. Becoming divorced, not something God wants. So what's some application we can make? Well, for those that are unmarried, put yourself in situations where you will not be enticed and tempted to commit sexual immorality. Be careful who you associate yourself with, and when you are associating with those in a dating circumstance, if you will, put yourself in places where you will not be tempted to do so. Temptations are extremely strong. For those of you who are married, or are not married, excuse me, who are not married, and those temptations are so strong you can't seem to help yourself, then you need to be striving very hard to become married. That's what God would want you to be. That's what Paul tells. That's what Paul says. If you can't control your urges, you can't have that self-control, you need to be striving to get married. And you need to choose who you marry wisely. For those that are married, we don't need to be holding ourselves from each other to give place to the devil, to be tempted. And as a whole, we need to armor ourselves and guard ourselves to realize that society is inundating us with these thoughts. They are coming at you hard. Everything you listen to, everything you watch, seems to have some kind of sexual immorality associated with it. Whether it's someone committing adultery, whether it's people divorced and it's not a big deal, whether it's homosexuality, jokes are made about these people because they're accepted. Jokes are made about the sin that they engage in. It's not a big deal. It's just not. Our society does not view these things as problems. They're not issues. They're just out there and it's no big thing. And it's really easy for us to start thinking the same way. Because everyone around us thinks that way, it's really easy for us to say, well, you know what, maybe they're onto something with these people that just, with homosexual tendencies. These people can't help themselves. They have a different gene than we do, than normal people do. It's unnatural, sure, but they just can't help themselves. It can be easy for us to start thinking that way. It can be easy for us to start thinking, well, she was beaten by her husband. He didn't engage in sexual adultery, but he beat her. And that's okay for them to, to split up and her to marry somebody who's a good man who's going to take care of her. It's really easy for us to fall into those things. It's really easy for us to say, well, you know what? They're 18. They don't need to be married. Those desires are so strong, though, they're not going to be able to withhold themselves from that. So it's okay if they cohabitate or however, whatever term you want to put on it for a little bit before they decide to be married. Let's not let those thoughts enter our minds. Let's put those thoughts away from us. Let's have the self-control to not only not engage in these things ourselves, but also to take opportunities to teach others about these things. Do so carefully. You don't want to be up there blasting people, but when you have opportunity to talk to people, we need to be able to stand up to other people and tell them where they're in wrong relationships. And anyway, you're subject to the call of Christ this morning. Won't you come together as we stand and sing?